Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, listen, many of y'all know that that right now up in D.C., they are wrangling over budgetary matters. And there's a lot of talk about what is a continuing resolution, what is a debt ceiling increase. Will a government shutdown occur? Because apparently that is a possibility. Anytime there's not a budget passed, you can have that as a possibility. It's happened in the past. But what does that mean for us? And where are we right now? Well, there's actually machinations going on the floor of the House as we speak. And yet, right smack in the middle of it is Congressman Gary Palmer, who has stepped out right now to take a call from us and come on the air live. Congressman Gary Palmer, how are you doing?
I'm good, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. Listen, I'll just cut right to it. What is the latest? Because we understand that y'all are voting in the next, 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah, should be voting in actually probably the next 10 or 12 minutes. But we've worked out an agreement with President Trump, and I don't know how many Democrat votes we'll get, but we're about to bring up a package that will need 293 votes. So we're going to have about 80 plus Democrats vote with us. But what it does is it extends the debt limit, increases the debt limit by $1.5 trillion. And we've conditioned that with the agreement with President Trump that we're going to enact savings of $2.5 trillion. And as I did an interview earlier today with Bloomberg Television, and I pointed out to him that we're sending out almost $240 billion per year in improper payments. If we eliminate that over the next 10 years, that's $2.4 trillion. So when people think, well, you're not going to be able to find savings of $2.5 trillion, I mean, I just told you where $2.4 trillion are. The bill will also include the disaster relief. It'll also include some relief for farmers and continuation of the current farm bill out for another year, which our farmers have gone through a very difficult last couple of years with the drought and the storms combined. So these are things that I think are workable. It's just a matter of whether or not we get enough Democrats to vote with us.
So, Congressman, let me ask you, because obviously the Republicans have a mandate right now, and the Republicans have a very, very, very narrow majority. I mean, you're going to have, I know you're going to have some Democrat buy-in on whatever you vote on, but how do you, and I understand why President Trump's calling for it to a degree, but how do you address the question of increasing the debt ceiling when we have 36 trillion? How do you alleviate people's fears and concerns about that? Because it just feels like we're putting more on the credit card at that point.
Well, the way we have to alleviate it is that your options are to not increase the debt limit. And people have to understand, we're not in the majority in the Senate right now, and Joe Biden is still in the White House. So our options are extremely limited. So our options are shut down the government, don't pay our military, and we're having a very difficult time right now with recruitment. We're under recruitment goals in every branch of our military. And they just can't, young families just can't afford to be in the military. So that's what the options are. There's 31 more days until Donald J. Trump is sworn in. There's 14 more days until we have a majority in the Senate. The debt limit, we hit the debt limit 7 days after, I think, on January 10th, the date, I think, it's after we get the majority in the Senate. But we still don't have someone in the White House that will sign whatever we pass. So I hope you understand the difficulty of the situation that we're in and trying to avert this. And if you don't extend the debt limit or increase the debt limit, what you wind up with is the our bonds are downgraded, and that increases the amount of money we have to pay in interest. I've had this discussion with the budget chairman, who's asking me to come back on the budget committee, about how we can do things to collateralize our debt so that it stabilizes our bond ratings and it makes and it brings down our interest payments. But I'm telling you, there are ways to do this, stuff that I've worked on almost from the first day I got here. And it's the first time that we're going to have an opportunity to actually make it happen, because we have a president in office who is going to demand that it be done.
Yeah. Well, and I hope that's true. And I recognize too that a lot of folks aren't taking into account, and I'm not trying to just, you know, create the discussion here, but there's a lot of folks not taking into account that the debt ceiling that you have right now expires early next year. And everybody knows that the Democrats will then use that as a leverage tool. And so I'm assuming that the debt increase you're putting on goes past the spring of 2025 and gives you guys breathing room so that they can't use this in a minority to try and leverage what they want out of legislation. Is that correct?
I'm not sure exactly how far out it goes. The date is determined by the rate of spending. And I pointed this out to the budget committee chair, that if we just did a 1% cut across the board of all agencies except defense, that extends the date. But that's not what President Trump wants. He wants a much longer extension, because he doesn't want this to be what shuts down our ability to get anything done on securing the border, on the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. He's going to be able to do a lot of stuff through executive order in terms of regulations, but I've got 20-something Congressional Review Act bills to eliminate regulations that will save us a lot of money. So there's just a number of things that I'm not sure people fully understand. It's almost like people think because we had a really good election, Trump got elected, we got the Senate, that they think we're there now. But we're not. This is the epitome of a lame duck session.
Well, it is. It's a lame duck session with high stakes. Let me ask you this. There's been a lot of talk about Elon Musk having influence. Your thoughts on that?
Well, it doesn't really influence what I do. I mean, I don't know that he's been in any meetings. The meetings this morning were with J.D. Vance and our people on the House side. But we'll see. I was in a meeting with Vance and Ramaswamy a couple of weeks ago when we had a smaller meeting before they met with the full conference of Republicans and laid out some things for them that they didn't know about. For instance, they weren't aware that we've already gone through an efficiency-type effort, and it was led by Al Gore, of all people. It was called the National Partnership for Reinventing Government. You may remember that. But by the time they completed it, at the end of the second Clinton term, they had eliminated over 426,000 civilian federal employee positions and shut down, I want to say, over 200 federal agencies.
They did.
So we've done this before. That's what people need to understand, and it's what I was trying to get across to them. And it was led by a Democrat administration, so they can't come out and start crying that we're taking away people's jobs. This is not new. We can do it. We've got to have the leadership willing to do it. And I think that's what you've got in Trump, and that's why he put Musk and Ramaswamy in charge of it.
I agree with that completely, and I think that is going to happen when the day comes that we can get everybody in place to do it. With where we are right now, you know, there's a comment that was made, and I might play a clip on it later. Former Speaker Newt Gingrich pointed out that he said it took allowing the government to shut down to get Bill Clinton's attention, and they did it. And I want to say they were the shutdown lasted almost 30 days. So if this vote doesn't go through today, if this vote doesn't go through today, do you anticipate that there will be a shutdown, or we all stay in and keep wrangling, or is it going to be a recess?
Well, I don't see how we can recess. 1201, the government's out of money for all intents and purposes. Now, they agencies have reserve funds. That's another thing I'm going to be looking into, and I've been raising this issue for a long time, that there's hundreds of billions of dollars sitting in agency accounts.
Yes.
A huge amount of it's in unobligated funds. So they've got some money. The thing is, though, is you don't pay congressional staff. You don't pay the military. Now, in terms of services, the essential services like law enforcement, U.S. Marshals, things like that, transportation safety people, Border Patrol, they remain on the job. But everybody else is, but they're not getting paid. That's the problem.
And that was with about a minute and a half left before we have to go to the break. Let me just ask you, so that was a question that was raised earlier. The NDAA passed, several days ago. So that did not include military pay. So military pay would be curtailed if the rest of the CR is not passed.
It does include a big pay raise. But when you go into a government shutdown, you don't get paid.
Okay.
And I've already instructed my chief of staff, if we go into a shutdown, to instruct the paymaster not to pay me, because if we're not going to pay our military, if we're not going to pay our staff, I'm not going to get paid.
Well, and I appreciate that, and that's honorable, and thank you very much. Well, listen, I know you guys are due to vote momentarily, and the Democrats are, I guess, keeping their cards close to the vest. We don't know what Hakeem Jeffries is saying about his crew yet.
No.
Okay.
The Democrat who's on the Financial Services Committee, I guess their ranking member, has come out in opposition to the bill. So,
and
I'm telling Phil, I got the bill 10 minutes ago. It's 2 pages longer than the one I read yesterday, but I think it's basically the same bill. But I'm hearing now that they may have pulled the debt limit out of it. I don't know how that impacts things. So,
where is
I'm watching, I've got it on the television. The floor debate's going on right now. So.
Well,
I think it'll conclude in a few minutes.
Well, I know you're gonna have to get to the votes, but let me just ask you a last question. I know that the Freedom Caucus was largely opposed to where things were. Chip Roy, Biggs, and several of the others, are they on board now with the I guess I'd call it Plan C?
Well, this morning in conference, the members of the Freedom Caucus that went to the microphone all supported it.
Okay. Well, that would be a whole new day. Well, Congressman, listen, in case we don't talk to you, Merry Christmas to you, and thank you for the integrity of saying I won't be taking my pay if no one else can. And just let us know, keep us posted, and we'll announce it on air as things progress, okay?
Well, I appreciate it, Phil.
All right.
You do a great job. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you. Take care now. All right, I ran long. That was great. I mean, the guy is literally watching the debate. And he's about to go to votes. But we got a lot of stuff to talk about here, a lot of stuff to unpack about what he just said, a lot of stuff that some of y'all may care deeply about and want to know more about, and I guess that the question of military pay was also answered by the congressman himself. All right, more to come. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, pulling pins on truth grenades in here. Let me just go to the phones, because I've only got like 2 or 3 minutes before we go to the break, because I ran long with the congressman. Robert from Athens is on line one. Robert, how you doing?
I'm doing good. You doing all right?
I'm doing all right, man. What's on your mind?
Oh, Lordy, man. That mess they got up there on the, all the voting they're trying to get done.
Yep.
We had a good turnout on the elections and everything, but I don't think these senators and congressmen, I don't think they know they can be replaced or recalled. And the American, we had a really good vote. And they need to keep that in mind, because they can be recalled.
Well, there is actually no recall on congressmen and senators, but they can certainly be primaried. That's the thing. But I think they do know that, to be honest with you. And a lot of them could care less. And then those that do care, I tell you what, here's the thing with this, Robert. I don't want somebody going up there making their votes based upon whether they're scared of losing their job. I want them to go up there and do what's right. And that's one of the most aggravating things that used to happen to me when I was in the state Senate, would somebody say, well, we're going to make sure you get primaried. That doesn't bode well for the person who is trying to do the right thing. And I'm not saying they're all trying to do the right thing. I'm just saying I think some of them can care less, and I think some of them care too much, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know it. But I tell you what, I don't think there's any American that's afraid of anything. I've never thought that way because we've been through so too much.
Well,
I don't believe we have a bunch of afraid Americans.
No, I don't either.
About what they're doing.
I think that we are still the greatest nation on the face of the earth. I do think, though, that we need some more people with that kind of backbone who actually will run for office and then not try to just keep their office forever, you know? But listen, man, Robert, we'll wait and see, but I really do believe that there's some folks up there who are trying to do the right thing, and then there's some who could care less because they're part of the establishment, and then there's some who care way too much about what people back home are saying and doing, and they're scared because they don't want to step to the left or the right, and they watch which way the wind blows, but it's a mess.
They need to be afraid because the American people are tired of being taken advantage of.
Well, and I agree with that, and that's why we just want to see them vote. Hey, listen, the music's about to play, brother. I got a very short segment here, and I apologize. Robert, you have a great weekend, all right?
You too, man.
All
Merry
right.
Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Take care now. Yeah, we're going to talk about this when we get back from the break. I got several thoughts on this, and I'll be honest with you. If we have a government, I don't want a government shutdown. I don't. I've got family members in the military. I've got people that care. That I care about, that I know would be impacted. But the truth of the matter is, we're all being impacted by this. And I want to know that the decisions are being made in the right way. And is there things that we can do now that we can do better later? Yes, but God Almighty, can we just please do what is necessary in a statesmanlike way right now? We'll talk about it. Great detail. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just saving the world one soundbite at a time. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one I am talking about, Alabama, y'all, Alabama. And folks, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, even Mississippi. All thrown in just for good measure. And oh, by the way, we have an announcement coming on maybe Monday, but we'll let you know that then. Hey, I got to tell you, though, so there's going to be a change, and I need you guys to catch hold of this. There's going to be a change come January 1. Those of you that listen to us on 101.1 out of Birmingham, please know that we are going to be coming off that station on January 1. So if you're a 101.1 ruffian, then just know that we went through contract negotiations with them. We decided after it was all said and done, you know what? It looks like the best thing for us to do is part ways. So we decided to part ways. And that does not mean you can't get our show. So the live show is going to continue every single day. And we have some announcements coming, like I said. But for right now, just know this. You can, if you haven't already done it, go check out the online ways. That's the way Charlene listens to the show every day. She just pulls it up on her phone and listens to us on the web. You can go to our website, rightsidemedia.org, rightsidemedia.org, or you can go to YouTube. And YouTube, by the way, thank y'all for helping us hit well over 1,000 subscribers now and growing. But if you've been to YouTube and you've seen Right Side Media, all you got to do is click subscribe on us. And then, first of all, that helps us grow. But secondly, it helps you find us anytime you need to very quickly. We're on every single day on Twitter. We're in two different places. We're on Rumble, we're on Twitch, and we're on YouTube, and we're on our website. We're streaming video and audio of the live show. So just get on in there and check it out, man. Just jump on in where you can and hang on. Is that Clarence on line one? Let me get that line real quick before I play something else. Clarence from Huntsville. Hey, my friend, how you doing?
Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm good, brother. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing good till I wake up and I see this mess every single day.
Tell me, it's just like a horned toad got in the bed there and rolled around. What's going on? What do you think about it?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what I think about it. I think we only got just a couple of options. I think the most important option is let's look at Congress from the beginning and say, first of all, none of y'all should be able to vote on your own raises because you're not a federal employee, period. You shouldn't get federal insurance because you're not federal employees. You work for your state, and you are sent from your state to Congress.
Well, but the reality is they get paid through the federal government because they are indeed federal employees. I mean, I got to go with that one, man. They that's where their budget is. Their money comes out of that. But they shouldn't be voting themselves a pay raise right now. I know that for a fact.
Well, I know that's how they are listed now, but we need to stop it because the state sends them. So I think the best option is to let the state pay their individual congressman what the state deems is worth, and let's get rid of career politicians. And they can go back to the way that politicians started, where they got paid for the amount of days that they were there.
Listen, you know what? In the Alabama State Senate, that's exactly the way we got paid, the amount of days that we were there. And then,
it's the only thing that makes sense. And what really needs to happen to make this happen, because you know as well as I do that the thing that would be the most effective would be to have some term limits on Congress, and that's not going to happen. So maybe Trump needs to be sending Elon Musk and Vivek out there and let them go and organize a convention of states and let the governors finally do it.
Listen, convention of states is a crazy cool idea that's got some nuances, but it's got some scary stuff mixed in with it too. Some folks believe that if you open up a convention of states, it opens up the entire Constitution to be gerrymandered all at one time.
Yes, well, you know, that's what they believe, but it would be, in my opinion, it would be hard to do it if you look at how much you would actually need to happen right now with enough red states to block it.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to be said for term limits. I was one of the only state senators in Montgomery that kept signing on to the idea of term limits every year. And nobody else would because they weren't going to vote against their jobs. And too many of them looked at it as their personal identities, too, for that matter. But I watched today Mitch McConnell gave a speech from the floor of the Senate. And the man is hard. I don't know if he could even find his way back to his office right now. But he's still listed as the majority leader for the time being in our U.S. Senate.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a whole other issue. The cognitive abilities of a lot of people in the Senate that have gotten there through the years. And so, you know, I couldn't go to my job for the most part, and I work in healthcare. I couldn't go to my job if I did not have my cognitive abilities. I would get sent home because it's not for the better interest of my patients. Well, they are not in the better interest of their constituents or America as a whole if they don't have cognitive abilities. I mean, we're being run right now in our country. I mean, where is our president? Where has he been for 6 months?
He is absent. He's an empty suit, man. That guy's gone. Hey, listen, Clarence, I got to get a couple more things, but you be careful, brother. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Take care. Man's live wire, isn't he?
Spot on, too.
Hey, by the way, they are voting right now up on the Fox News screen here on the walls of the studio. The votes are underway. We already have 11 nays. I'm assuming that they're, well, I don't know, 11 Republicans have voted nay already,
Can I just, I know I've seen it in your resources, but we had 38 people vote nay on the last one, and we've already got 11 so far on this one. Why? What in the world, dude?
So here's the thing. Let's talk about this. All right, let's get the lay of the land. All right, let's catch up. First of all, what is a continuing resolution? Most of y'all know this, but I'm going to say it anyway. The budget process, if you get into the regular order of business, requires the appropriations committees from the Senate and the House to have subcommittees that handle all the things like one for transportation, one for, you know, the military, one for what. Anyway, they work their piece of the budget and they debate openly and they pass their portion budgets up to the overall appropriations committee, which then forwards a full budget to the floor to be voted on and debated by the larger body. That has not happened in quite a while. So rather than go through the budget process, they keep going, well, we just couldn't get it done. And so they pass a thing called a continuing resolution. What is that? It's a resolution to allow what they've already done to just continue. Like, okay, what we said before, let's keep doing it and we'll get back to it later. And it's a cheesy way of getting around the budget process. It's really an awful way of doing business. But it's the way the Democrats have done it now for a while. And when we get back to, and I've seen Senator Katie Britt calling for the regular order of business to be restored, and when we get back to having Republicans control the House, the Senate, and the presidency, there better freaking be a return to the regular order of business. Right now, Chuck Schumer still controls the Senate, and Joe Biden still controls the White House. So we're stuck with a continuing resolution. I hate it, but there we are. The question then is, how do they keep tacking on new stuff? Well, it's a CR. You're not really continuing if you're adding new stuff, but they keep adding new stuff. And then they also add in what you call pork, which is just spending on things you don't need. And then they also add in regulatory and budgetary language, which guides things, but really changes the law. Things like they had protections built in for the January Sixers to not be investigated and things like that. All right, all said and done, that's the CR. Then there's the debt ceiling. We have to authorize by Congress the use of debt, which means we don't have enough money for all the things we want to do, so we'll borrow some to do it. It's like you and I paying our light bill, our power bill on our credit card. However, it's as if they don't have enough space on the credit card. So they keep asking the bank to give them an increased debt limit on the credit card. And that's what they're doing. By law, they have to either A, extend the use of the credit limit and raise it, or they're stuck with what they got. Right now, the debt limit they have is due to expire in the early parts of next year. So as Trump is taking office and just getting his legislative agenda into the body for debate, suddenly they have this debt limit fight they have, and the Democrats know it, and the Democrats want to use that as a tool to beat up on Republicans and try to hold it hostage while they try to get good things done. Trump is asking right now to go ahead and resolve as a Congress to increase the debt limit slightly and extend it out further than what it is so he has time to get his legislative agenda going before that big fight happens. But hardliners, and I consider myself to be one, hardliners are sick of seeing the credit limit raised. And so 38 Republicans, mostly from the Freedom Caucus, all said, we're not doing this. We're just not doing it. And so they said, we're not doing it as long as there's a debt increase. Well, 38 Republicans were all needed, but you're also going to have Democrats. Democrats are loving this. Democrats are like, we're just going to make this go badly for you. The thing is, it really goes badly for them, if you get down to it, because it's Democrats who still control the flow. For right now, it doesn't matter what the election was, none of our people are fully in charge until next year. So for right now, we own the House by a small majority. Very small. And that means we have to have Democrat votes to get this done. I'm looking up right now. There's a motion to suspend the rules and pass a continuing resolution to avoid a government shutdown that is taking place as we speak. So far, 100 Republicans have voted yay, and 41 Democrats have voted yay, which is basically saying that we're on track potentially to pass it with Democrat support. 18 Republicans appear to have voted no. I imagine most of those are the ones who have been fussing about the debt limit. All of it makes sense. The crazy thing is, this is one of those maddening situations where both sides make sense. Nobody wants the Democrats to have sway over us next year as we're starting off a great new agenda, right? And yet, at the same time, we're all sick to death of seeing spending like this. So if what Congressman Palmer said a moment ago is true, if they're really going to come in and say, all right, listen, we're going to increase the debt limit slightly to push it out further, we hope, and then at the same time, we're going to also cut spending. And then next year, we get back to regular order of business. That's a better solution. But y'all, the reality is this. It's a broken situation. They've got to do away with CRs. In Alabama, and I know you may think it's just a state, Phil, it's just a state with multi-billion dollar budget. It's just a state that actually has a reserve account. Why do we have a reserve account? Because our state constitution requires us to have a balanced budget every year. And if you don't balance the budget, if you do it so poorly that halfway through the year you don't have enough money, guess what? The governor has to declare proration. Proration means you got to cut in the middle of the year. And that's painful. So that's why you avoid doing that. That's why you pass a budget that makes sense. If they did that in D.C., we would not have $36 trillion in debt. It doesn't mean we would never have debt, because when a war arises or something unexpected, like a massive, Hurricane Sandy or something like that, things happen you can't expect and the federal government steps in. I get it. But right now, they're just spending on crap. Things like the Inflation Reduction Act, things like, you know, forgiving student loans. It's been a spending spree for 4 years. And truthfully, some of the Trump term was a spending spree. We've got to get back to the regular order of business. Got to. Right now, I would imagine the votes are coming in right now. It looks like we got 179 yays, 21 nays.
How many yays do we need?
I think he said we'd have two something. I forgot what it was. But it looks like we're going to have we got a ways to go, but they've only got a couple of minutes left on the vote. So I think the votes are not being tallied as quick as we're looking at it. We'll see. Meanwhile, I don't believe they will all go home. I think there's, and listen, I appreciate the fact that there's some of them that are willing to say, we won't go home for Christmas. And some of them are pissed, and some will vote. Tell me how to vote. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I want to go home. I've seen guys in Montgomery do the same thing. We just want to go home. So end result is there's a lot of work to do. And we'll see what this vote does, but it's counting as we speak. All right, listen, I didn't even get to play my Newt Gingrich.
I mean, you can on the other side if you want.
We'll see. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.